Wednesday, July 30th, 2025. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. Hope you had a good weekend. Hope your week is going well, and that you, your family, your friends, you're all staying strong, and you're all staying healthy right now. And yes, it is July 30th. We've got one more day left in July, and then we are into August. And I mean August. We're going to see some things changing. I can't wait. And kids, you know, I told you last week that I did something I hadn't done in a long time. I actually went to a theater and saw a sports movie. It had been years since I did that. I saw Brad Pitt's F1, and I really actually liked it. Well, another week in this dry time of year, and I saw another sports movie, sort of, kind of, a little bit. Because yes, against my better judgment, I actually watched the new Happy Gilmore 2 as Adam Sandler brought back that franchise for another round. It was, I don't know, not great, but I think the story was about what I expected. It's silly. It's goofy. It's Adam Sandler. Now, I'll be honest. I did have to laugh at some of the critics saying the script was just too nonsensical. As if the original was like Citizen Kane. The original had Happy Gilmore fighting both Bob Barker and an alligator for his golf ball. I mean, it wasn't exactly that deep the first time around. This time, maybe it takes it to another level. I don't know. If you're good with silly nonsense, Adam Sandler, then you'll probably at least survive getting through it. I will say this. Adam Sandler does not skimp on paying people to come be in his movies. I mean, anyone who has ever been in a Sandler movie was in this one. In fact, I think anyone who has ever seen a Sandler movie might have been in this one. That cameo list was like a Diddy party. If you want a sports movie, like I said last week, go see F1. If you want to have a few dumb chuckles and maybe lose a few IQ points, then watch Happy Gilmore 2. But again, at this time of year, honestly, we'll watch just about anything. Just give us something. Please let football come back already. Speaking of which, today on The Dose, football season is coming, and it actually is coming quickly. Not quite quickly enough, but it is coming quickly. Do you realize that we are just 24 days away from real, live college football games starting? What? No, it's absolutely true. And yes, I realize it's 24 days until that week zero of college football. And that week zero, it's not a schedule full of marquee matchups. But we get Iowa State versus Kansas State. Not bad. Fresno State versus Kansas. Not bad. Stanford at Hawaii. Okay, I might fall asleep. It's not great. But then the college football season really takes off that next week. Today, we are going to be taking a look at some of the best college football players in the country, because we're going to be ranking the top 10 college football quarterbacks this year. We will also have a Daily Dose top 5 for you today. What makes a great NFL quarterback? You know, every year we are told that measurables mean something, and it usually just isn't the game tape. Well, today our Daily Dose top 5 will examine that just a bit further. But first, it was a bit of a sad week this week as Ryan Sandberg, the famed Chicago Cubs second baseman, died at the age of 65 after a battle with metastatic prostate cancer, and it was just diagnosed back in January of 2024. But Sandberg, who was a cornerstone of the Cubs lineup for 15 seasons and a defining figure of the 80s and 90s in baseball, earned 10 consecutive All-Star selections. He was the 84 NL MVP award winner, won 9 Gold Gloves, 7 Silver Sluggers, and has a place in Cubs history with his number 23 uniform retired in the Cubs Hall of Fame. And you know, more than any of those accomplishments, Sandberg just seemed like a good dude. Tough loss there with the loss of Ryan Sandberg. You know, it's been a rough week for my Gen X generation. I mean, we lost Rhino. We lost Hulk Hogan. Ozzy Osbourne, Theo Huxtable. Honestly, if Gen X ever felt any emotions, this would have really been a rough stretch. Fortunately, Gen X is jaded, and we feel nothing. But I mean, hey, when you watch a space shuttle blow up live in elementary school, not much else can shake you after that. It looks like the University of Michigan will start their 2026 football season across the pond in Frankfurt, Germany, in a matchup against Western Michigan. Yeah, the game is supposed to take place at Deutsche Bank Park on Saturday, August 29th next year. That stadium holds 55,000 fans and has recently hosted two NFL games back in 2023. Of course, Germany has also hosted five college football games in the past, but this matchup would mark the first one in Frankfurt, and it's the first one between actual FBS programs. But it won't be the only international game on August 29th next year, because it was already announced that North Carolina and TCU will play in Dublin on the same day. This year, Iowa State and Kansas State, like I mentioned, will open their respective seasons in Dublin, Ireland as well. But the last three seasons, we've had games played in Dublin in week zero. But help me understand this one in Germany. Because let me see if I have this straight. Ann Arbor, Michigan, where the Michigan Wolverines are from, is about 100 miles away from Kalamazoo, Michigan, where Western Michigan is. But the powers that be instead want to pull a game from season ticket holders and send it 4,200 miles away to Germany for people that probably don't even care about it. Now, I know we keep being told that these institutions for higher learning are really smart. I just don't always find much evidence of that being true. But here's the weird thing. This isn't a league. What are you promoting? It's college football. I don't understand what Michigan is doing. You finally beat Ohio State a few times and now you think you're smart. What are you doing? One final story coming out of the NBA, and when I discuss it, you're going to swear that it is fake news and that I'm just making this up, but you can look it up. I'm not. Los Angeles Lakers basketball star LeBron James' attorneys apparently have sent a cease and desist letter to the developers of a popular AI service that is creating videos and images of famous NBA stars in bizarre situations, including one of LeBron James lying on a couch, clutching his pregnant belly.
What?
I'm not even kidding. Jason Stacks, owner of AI platform FlickUp, confirmed to 404 Media that he'd received a letter from James's lawyers prompting the company to tweak its tech so that people wouldn't be able to make silly slap videos of LeBron in improbable situations, as well as other stars. Here's what Stacks had to say. This is a letter from one of the biggest NBA players of all time. 2 months ago, I launched the YouTube of AI video. It was a fun idea to help creators make some money. But then people started noticing, like this guy, LeBron James, and he wasn't happy because I got a cease and desist letter from his team. James' reaction to this AI intrusion on his personal image could be a sign of things to come for future legal actions from celebrities who have been popular for deepfake AI-generated videos. 404 reported that James's attorney's actions appear to be one of the first instances in which a celebrity has actually taken legal action against these kind of platforms. Hey, I know I give LeBron James a lot of grief here at The Dose, but this, I get it. I really do. Because this is a slippery slope. I mean, where does it all end? Next thing, they could be making deep fakes of LeBron James, I don't know, even doing illegal things. They could be making deep fakes of him doing something horrible, doing porn, something like that. They could make deep fakes of him not flopping or like being the greatest basketball player of all time. But I mean, we have to draw the line on this insanity somewhere, right?
Hey, a rule is a rule. And let's face it, without rules, there's chaos.
So the college football season is going to be here before we know. And as usual, I cannot wait for it. Now I realize that we are going to have the same regular teams being the top ranked teams again. I haven't even looked. Polls have not been issued yet, but I'm betting we're going to have like Ohio State, Texas, Georgia, Alabama, Notre Dame, Clemson as the top ranked teams. You know, like we do most every year since like 2010. But here's my question for you today. Who are the best college quarterbacks this season? Now, we know we will get a few spectacular freshmen that will come in and set the world on fire. But right now, I'm going to give you the Daily Dose top 10 college football quarterbacks going into this college football season. I'm going to start at number 10 with a quarterback that will be playing his fourth season at a college that is not exactly a blue blood school, but Iowa State junior quarterback Rocco Becht. He should absolutely be considered among the best quarterbacks in college football this season. Becht will be starting his third straight year for the Iowa State Cyclones. And last year, all he did was lead them to an 11-3 record and a bowl game win over Miami. Remember that Miami game? Kind of weird. Now, he's a little undersized. But if Rocco Becht posts another strong season this year, yeah, he's going to get some attention from NFL scouts. I have him at number 10. At the number 9 slot, I will put a guy that many people actually might have higher. I don't. But former Georgia quarterback Carson Beck is now at Miami. And while I think he has some drawbacks to his game, Beck is going to be one of the top quarterbacks this year. And he might actually look a little better at Miami because he won't have to face SEC defenses every week. But remember that a year ago, Beck was like a clear-cut top quarterback entering the season. And even though he put up pretty strong numbers last year, he was kind of considered a disappointment. Now, some of that was because his supporting cast at Georgia wasn't quite as good. And some of it was because he struggles at times to throw on the move. And so good pressure bothers him. That's why I have him at number 9. But Carson Beck will still be very good. But this year, he'll be at Miami. And number 8, I am going to place a player that showed some flashes last season that he might be special. But he's already dinged up a little bit this year, which worries me. But just when we thought the University of Florida was going to fire head coach Billy Napier, on came freshman quarterback DJ Lagway, and he managed to rally the Gators to a few wins and save Napier's job. As a freshman, Lagway really was only the bona fide starter in 5 games, but he threw 12 touchdowns, and his 9.97 yards per pass attempt was the best in the country. Once again, like I said, he's already banged up a little bit in practice this year, but Florida is going to face a monster of a schedule. But if Lagway stays healthy, his ceiling is crazy high. I have him at number 8. Number 7, I'm going to place a quarterback that has put up some very good numbers at Washington State. But now, John Mateer has transferred to the University of Oklahoma. Now, Mateer threw for 3,100 yards and 29 touchdowns last season for the Cougars. He led them to an 8-5 record and a berth in the Holiday Bowl. My concern for Mateer is that he's going to have some crazy high expectations in Norman, Oklahoma. But Mateer is an exciting player to watch, and he can beat you a little bit with his legs too, at least at this level. He should improve the Oklahoma Sooners this year. I have him at number 7. At number 6, we move to another school that isn't exactly a blue blood program, but Lenora Sellers at South Carolina is going to be really, really fun to watch this season. He started slow last year, but once he figured some things out, Sellers was another guy that was getting nearly 10 yards per pass attempt. He's a dangerous player. He can beat you with his legs and his arm. And if you're going to sack him, you better make sure you wrap him up because he will shrug you off and make a play downfield. Head coach Shane Beamer will have Sellers ready to play, and I think he'll start stronger this season than he did last season. He could be a dark horse Heisman kind of player. I have him at number 6. Moving on to number 5, you know, one of the biggest surprises last season was, of course, the Arizona State Sun Devils, who finished the season 11-3 and made the college football playoff. Hey, they nearly beat heavily favored Texas before bowing out. Of course, do everything running back Cam Scatabo is now gone, but quarterback Sam Leavitt is back, and he will be a problem for opposing defenses. Get this, from November 1st on, no returning college quarterback posted a better quarterback rating than Leavitt, and no returning quarterback scrambled for more yards last year than Leavitt. He had over 400 yards scrambling. Leavitt's got a big arm. He can make plays with his legs. And playing for crazy head coach Kenny Dillingham, yeah, I'm expecting Sam Leavitt to have a big year. I have him at number 5. Moving next to 4, okay, this is probably too high, and I admit it, but Penn State's Drew Aller, he's viewed as a top NFL draft prospect due to both his size and his production. The Penn State passer recorded over 3,000 passing yards and 24 touchdowns last year as he led the Nittany Lions to the college football playoff and then actually got them two wins in the playoff before they got beat by Notre Dame in the Final Four. Hey, I know it sounds insane, but Drew Aller is hoping to lead the Nittany Lions back to the playoff in 2025, and he just might do it. I've got him at number four. At number three, yes, this might be way too high for a player that really just hasn't played all that much. But in the little time that we have seen him, Texas quarterback Arch Manning looks like he might be a generational kind of player. He's been sitting behind Quinn Ewers and biding his time, but when he gets in the game, I mean, he is an amazing dual threat quarterback. And we also know that Texas head coach Steve Sarkisian is one of the best at getting his quarterbacks ready for game day. I'm expecting big things from Arch Manning. I've got him at number three. At number two, I'm going to place a quarterback that hasn't quite been as good as expected, but last year he started to turn a corner and really come into his own. And that is Clemson quarterback Cade Klubnik, who threw for 3,600 yards and led the Tigers to an ACC title game and to the college football playoff. Now, Klubnik should be better in 2025. He is currently considered a top three Heisman candidate. And again, here's another guy. He can beat you with his legs as well as his arm. Head coach Dabo Swinney looks like he just might have Clemson back to being a contender this year. I know they've kind of fallen off a little bit over the last few seasons. I don't know. Dabo just might have them back again this year. Keep an eye on Cade Klubnik. He's going to be a Heisman contender for sure. Okay, so who do I, here at the Daily Dose, have as my number one returning college football quarterback this year? Well, it's a name you might be a little familiar with, because at number one, I will put a player that should be ready to become a household name, because LSU quarterback Garrett Nussmeier is the lone 4,000-yard passer from last year on this list. He threw for 4,052 passing yards last year, which ranked him fifth in the nation behind four guys that got drafted to the NFL. Well, Nussmeier is widely considered another top three Heisman candidate and eventual top NFL draft pick. And doesn't it feel like Brian Kelly really needs to rally the LSU Tigers this year? Like, he really needs to win something of importance. Well, Nussmeier is the kind of quarterback that could get LSU back in the national conversation. It won't be easy, because that SEC is going to be tough once again, but Garrett Nussmeier should be one of the absolute best quarterbacks in the country. Hey, expectations are going to be big in LSU. The SEC is going to be tough. I cannot wait for college football to be back. Hey, remember that you should be stopping by DailyDoseSports.com every week to check out what new things we have going on over there. We have links to the podcast. We have links to the video. We have links to new articles that go up every week. In fact, I posted one this week about the Denver Broncos and what is going on in their training camp. So make sure that you stop by and check that out. And you can always email the podcast at DailyDoseSports@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. And remember, you can pick up some Daily Dose gear over there as well. We've got t-shirts, we've got hoodies, we've got sweatshirts, we've got baseball caps, we have it all. Make sure you stop by DailyDoseSports.com at least once a week. Now, as we do so many weeks here at the Daily Dose, we need to get over to our Daily Dose Top 5. Five! Of course, we've been talking about quarterbacks today on the Dose, and specifically college football quarterbacks. But now, we're going to shift gears just a little, because how will some of the guys we have discussed today do at the next level? Well, it's kind of funny, because we watch college football games and we see what these guys can do. And then the season ends and we get like pro days and combines and goofy drills. And we see these NFL teams test these kids at things other than playing football. And then they draft them based on that garbage. Hey, sometimes those tests further prove that a kid has it. Other times those tests are just silly. We judge prospects based on vertical jump and 40-yard dash. And silly things like hand size instead of, well, can they play? Can they play football? It's kind of an important aspect, right? But do those things matter too? Well, today, our Daily Dose Top 5 is counting down the top 5 NFL quarterbacks ever based on the size of their hands. Who had the biggest hands in NFL history, or at least since they started measuring? Well, we'll find out. We start off at number 5. And we go to a guy that is known for a few things. One, he went to an Ivy League school. Two, he had a huge beard. And three, he bounced all over the league, but you might not realize that Harvard graduate Ryan Fitzpatrick and his 10.75-inch bear paws enjoyed one of the most interesting journeyman careers of any quarterback in NFL history. He threw passing touchdowns for 8 different teams. He's the only player to ever do that. He started for an NFL record 9 different teams. For his career, Fitzmagic went 59-87-1 as a starter. He threw 223 touchdowns to 169 interceptions. In his career, Ryan Fitzpatrick played for Washington, Tennessee, Houston, St. Louis, Tampa, Cincinnati, Miami, the New York Jets, and the Buffalo Bills. Hey, Ryan Fitzpatrick has a legendary NFL career by any measure. Was it good? Well, maybe not, but it was interesting for sure. He might be the most interesting player on this list, in fact, today. Ryan Fitzpatrick comes in today at number 5 with 10.75-inch hands. We move next to number 4. Well, actually, it's a tie for 3. We have a guy at 4 and at 3, but same size hands. Anyways, we arrive at number 4 at a former USC Trojans quarterback who did what most USC quarterbacks do in the NFL. Not much. Cody Kessler had 10.88-inch hands and was drafted with the 93rd overall pick by the Cleveland Browns back in 2016. But Kessler's NFL career, well, it never quite took off. He started 12 games, 8 for Cleveland and 4 for Jacksonville. He went 2-10 as a starter. He threw 8 touchdowns with just 5 interceptions, but he only saw the field in 3 seasons, from 2016 to 2018. By 2019, Cody Kessler was completely out of the league, but he did have some massive hands, and he comes in today at number 4, or actually kind of tied for 3rd. So let's move on to number 3, and we reach the other player that has the same hand size measurement as Cody Kessler, except this guy has a way better resume. We get to a guy on this list that NFL draft experts were telling us how having huge hands was going to be so important when this guy was coming out of Mississippi State and drafted with the 135th overall pick in 2016, Dak Prescott has now been the starting quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys for 9 years. This will actually be his 10th season. But, I mean, Dak's career is a very mixed bag. He was the 2016 NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year. He led the league in passing touchdowns in 2013. But he's only a 3-time Pro Bowler. And if Dak could somehow find a way to win anything whatsoever in the postseason, it would really raise his status. Dak is 76-46 as a starter. Pretty good. He has thrown 213 touchdowns and only 82 interceptions. Again, pretty good. Unfortunately, he's just 2-5 in the postseason. No, it isn't all on him, but some of those losses, he hasn't been great. Dak Prescott's got some massive hands, 10.88 inches, tied with Cody Kessler. But here's the bad news for the big hands people. Dak is also the most successful guy on this list by a long way. And his career is solidly okay, but not great. Dak Prescott comes in today at number 3. We reached the number 2 guy on our list of big-handed NFL quarterbacks, and we get to a guy that I'm betting you've never heard of. Because Jake Dulagala went to Central Connecticut and ended up being an undrafted quarterback who was on 6 different NFL teams before moving on to the Canadian Football League. Dulagala is just one of 2 quarterbacks in NFL history with hands of 11 inches or bigger. Dolagal's 11.125 hands were massive. Unfortunately, that never translated to on-field success for him in the NFL. He was a backup quarterback for the Bengals. He never got in a game. He went to New England. He was on the practice squad. He was waived after they signed Mac Jones. He had a 6-week contract with Green Bay. Then he went back to New England. Then he went back to Green Bay. Then he went to Miami. And then he went to the CFL. Jake Dolagala proves having big hands aren't everything when it comes to the NFL. And he comes in today at number 2. So we reach the NFL quarterback with the biggest hands of any quarterback in NFL history. And you know what they say about guys with big hands, right? Big gloves. But this dude, I'm not kidding, had some meat hooks. Selected with the 26th overall pick back in 1997, taken by the San Francisco 49ers after 4 years at Virginia Tech, Jim Druckenmiller's hands measured in at an insane 11.25 inches. Now, for the record, Michael Jordan's hands measure at 11.37. Druckenmiller's were almost as big as Mike's. Head coach at the time, Steve Mariucci, said, "I would like to think Druckenmiller is our quarterback of the future. He saw Druckenmiller taking over for Steve Young. Unfortunately, that never panned out. He played just 6 games for the Niners in 97 and 98. He threw 1 touchdown. He threw 4 interceptions, and that was it. He would later be named the 11th biggest bust by ESPN in 2008. Jim Druckenmiller had the biggest hands of any quarterback in NFL history, but they didn't really do him any good in his NFL career. Once again, I know we say it all the time, but these NFL guys really want to talk themselves into taking quarterbacks, and so they look for some silly reason to take a guy that they fell in love with. Sure, his film isn't that great, but did you see his pro day when he threw from one knee? Or he paddled a canoe really fast? Or he had the biggest hands ever? And then we can't figure out why a lot of these drafted quarterbacks don't turn out. You just watch. It'll happen again this year, because it happens again every year. Hey, next week on the Dose, we are going to continue getting you ready for football, but we're going to turn our attention a little more over to the NFL. Plus, we will keep you up on all things going on in sports, and we just might have another football-flavored Daily Dose Top 5 for you. So be sure you check out the Dose, and be sure you let a friend know to do the same. Hey, I want to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to the Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. But more than anything, thank you for sharing the show, for sharing the videos, and for sharing the articles with someone that you know. We absolutely love it when you do that. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see y'all next Wednesday. Have a great week, everybody.
Hey, a rule is a rule. And let's face it, without rules, there's chaos.